Hello, and welcome to Community Forum. I'm Ellen Lockyer. Let me introduce my guests for today's show. Marge Larson, she's a special assistant to the mayor. Say hi, Marge.
Hi, and thank you, Ellen.
And Mr. Randy Virgin, and he is working with the city on sustainability projects.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And they are both going to help us unravel some of the upcoming election propositions that will be on the city ballot on April 7th. And today, I guess we're going to be talking a lot about what's on everybody's minds these days, money, and what's a fair share to pay up for the city, and where we can save, and where we're going to get a little bit extra. So I'd like to start by asking, what is in store for city spending this next year? I think that, Marge, I'd like to address this to you. You mentioned earlier that the city is reviewing the first quarter of 2009's budget. Can you tell us a little bit about how the city does budget? It's year to year, fiscal year, calendar year?
Well, I'm certainly not the budget expert or the CFO, but we do budget and operate on a calendar year from January through December. And so on a quarterly basis, the budget is reviewed. And at first quarter review, there's an opportunity for the administration and the assembly to make adjustments to that budget. And I think we will definitely be seeing some adjustments to that budget given the revenue shortfalls that have been identified in the first quarter.
Okay, so before we look at that, I wanted to make something else clear. The budget process for 2010 is still waiting in the wings, so to speak. It hasn't even begun yet. Is it likely to begin soon?
That will begin internally during the second quarter of this year, so coming up this spring, early summer, and then be taken up by the Assembly in the fall.
Okay, so we are barely into 2009, and we're still thinking about 2010. And we've had some setbacks with the recent financial downturn that's affecting the whole nation. But we've had some windfalls, too. And Randy Virgin is here to talk to us a little bit about some federal money that is coming the city's way. So let's start with that. Randy,
sure.
What exactly is this bit of money that the federal government is giving the city?
Well, what we're talking about is the stimulus bill. It's a package that the president and Congress pushed through in the last couple of months. And we're at the point now where we're starting to understand how this money is going to be coming to Anchorage, how much we're talking about, and basically what that's going to look like. I guess I would start by saying Mayor Klayman has made implementation of the stimulus bill, you know, top priority for his administration. And I'm one of the many folks who are working to achieve his goals to make sure we basically maximize the number of dollars coming to the community. We share information about that as quickly and broadly as we can. And we ensure that this money is implemented as intended to maximize job creation and to do it as transparently as we possibly can.
Mm-hmm. Can this money be used for the 2009 budget, or does it have to be held for the 2010 budget?
Neither, really.
Okay.
I mean, the intent of the stimulus bill was that it's new spending. You know, it's meant to stimulate the economy and put new activity out on the street. So it's not discretionary funding that can fill a budget hole. It doesn't just go into the budget and get spent on general government. This is very specific money. You know, in most cases, Congress has already decided how it's getting spent. You know, it's X dollars for roads, this much for transit, this much for public safety, this much for energy efficiency, education, et cetera. So again, this is new dollars for specific activities that are really focused on job creation.
Do we have any idea how many new dollars?
Sure. Our best guess right now is that the community of Anchorage as a whole is going to see somewhere between $250 and $400 million from the stimulus bill. A lot of that depends on our success in receiving competitive grants, and it's also dependent on how much the state ends up choosing to accept.
Right. Can you talk a little bit about that? I know that there is some difference of opinion in Juneau as to
what
money we should accept.
Right. That's under debate right now. The state was originally slated to receive somewhere in the neighborhood of $800 million, and the governor has questioned about a third of that. And so legislators are undertaking a process right now, literally to review whether or not they want to accept the entire amount or they want to not accept some of those dollars. And so really the education funding and a big chunk, about $26 million in education funding, would come directly to the school district here in Anchorage. But again, that's pending the state's acceptance, and that's one of the issues that's under debate right now.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell me a little bit about the money that is not that could come the city's way that is not dependent
right.
upon the Juno decision?
Sure. There is quite a bit of funding from the Act that's going to go right to the community via formulas through federal agencies, and then there's competitive grant programs as well. What we know so far, we've got over $50 million in formula funding that we know is headed our way, regardless of what the state does. There's almost $20 million coming into the community specifically for roads projects. We've got nearly $3 million for public safety funding for the police department to put more equipment and more people on the street. There's almost $1 million for homelessness prevention funds. There's almost $3 million for energy efficiency and conservation block grants. $500,000 for community development block grants, and there's about $6 million in transit formula funding that's been announced so far.
Wow, that's pretty attractive. And do you think that you said it may create jobs, or it's designed to create jobs? Do
Certainly.
You have any idea what kind of jobs, how many jobs?
I don't have an aggregate number for you yet. Yeah, it's hard to say. And a lot of these, you can look at a road project, and we know that there's obviously direct jobs in the community. Excuse me. But when you look at $20 million in spending for roads projects, that's $20 million in equipment and payroll. And that has a big impact. There's secondary impacts. That's new spending that's going to, fund payroll that supports families, supports mortgages, people going out to eat, buying cars. So there's a big dollar impact and a big job impact when you multiply those factors.
Wow, and a lot of this is for roads, public facilities, mm-hmm. Things that are also being looked at by the city in separate from this particular, the new money, as you call it.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to ask Marge a little bit about in specific, some of the bond proposals that will be facing the voters on April 7th. And let's start with Proposition 3, which is a $34 million road bond providing funding on 24 different road projects that are spread all around the Anchorage Bowl. Can you talk a little about that, Marge?
Yes, well, the roads bond in the ARDSA service area, which is Anchorage Road and Drainage Service Area, is the largest bond on the ballot for the city and is every year pretty much because the roads road service plays a big role in what the city's service is. This year's road bond is about $34.2 million, and last year's road bond, for instance, was $44.8 million. So this year's bond was trimmed down by the Assembly, and that holds true for the whole bond package, the whole city bond package, which is Propositions 3 through 8.
I wanted to mention the legislative, how do I put this? The bond provides the promised a legislative match in grants. Can you explain what that is?
Sure. So the city requests funds out of the capital budget at the state level every year. And so this year we have requested $40 million for roads in Anchorage specifically from the legislature. And always when you're asking for funds from any kind of funder, whatever you're bringing to the table to show the buy-in of the local community and of your own supporters, it's going to be much more convincing in bringing the funders' dollars to the table. And that holds true with the governor of the state of Alaska. It holds true with the legislature. We're much more likely to get funded with the state dollars if we pass the local bond and do our share of it.
So you're saying if the bond should pass, this is Prop 3, we are more likely to get the matching than, of course, if the voters turn it down, then they would not have to give us the match.
Right. I mean, neither way is it a foregone conclusion, but I think that we could safely say in this economic climate that we'd have a much reduced chance of getting the dollars from the state legislature for Anchorage Roads if we didn't do our own part by passing Prop 3.
And with the increase in drivers on Anchorage Roads, I think everyone should be interested in this particular bond. How about the taxes now? What will be passed on to our taxpayers should this bond succeed?
The total impact on the taxpayer is measured in dollars per 100,000 of assessed value, and the total impact, maximum impact on taxpayers in Anchorage as a result of passing Props 3 through 8, so all the city bond propositions, is $20.54 per 100,000. So multiply that times the value of your home. If you had a $350,000 home, you'd be paying $65.70.
So $24 per 100,000? Is that what you
$20.54.
$20.54. All right. So that really is not that great a burden.
Correct.
Okay.
I think that's an important point, is that this is a modest ask of the taxpayers. Mm-hmm. And and certainly the bond package was put together by staff and the administration and likewise approved by the assembly with some similar goals to the direction that President Obama has set with the Economic Recovery Act, or the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, in that it's intended to create jobs. So we are not going to spread this work over many years. Many times project planning can take a number of years. The vast majority of these projects are construction only, and they're going to hit the street this summer. And that is unusual, and that was driven by the economy this year.
And, of course, that would translate into more jobs for the
absolutely,
residents.
Absolutely, as well as safer roads.
Right. And, Randy, you look like you're just jumping out of your seat. I was going to ask you, how can this new stimulus money enhance what's already on the city books
for
spending?
That's exactly the right question. And I think one thing we want to really point out is that all of the projects in the bond package are different than the projects that would be funded by stimulus dollars. So they're different pots of money, different lists of projects, and they really are designed to complement each other. So I want voters to understand that, you know, these bond projects are kind of the core critical needs of the community. And we can't say no to those and hope for the stimulus to make up the difference. The stimulus is going to be new projects sort of going farther down the wish list. But they're really two separate lists of projects, and we need both of them, I think, to be happening at the same time in order to get this economy moving the way we want it to go.
So the bond proposal would put in paved roads, and maybe the stimulus would put a park bench.
The bond proposal focuses on the existing roadways and walkways in the Anchorage service area, and maintaining, overhauling those, not maintaining them in the sense of street sweepers and snow removal, but maintaining them in the sense of repairing them and making them safer. And these projects initially come out of the neighborhoods, come out of the community councils, and that's the beginning of the process. And then there's a long-term capital investment plan that the city has that is planned in advance. Projects are kind of in the queue, if you will, and on an annual basis they're brought out for bond proposals.
All right. Thanks, Marge. I'd like to take a moment now to remind our listeners that this is a call-in program. And if you are interested in the city budget and in propositions, 1 through 9, but we're discussing 3 through 8 right now, please call 550-8433. 550-8433. Outside of Anchorage, you can dial 1-888-353-5752. That's 1-888-353-5752, or shoot us an email at communityforum@ksKA.org. And you ought to be out there, you listeners. We have an election coming up on the 7th of April, in which there are some bond proposals that will affect your roads, your schools, your public library, and your bus system, to name a few things. Let's talk to Marge a little bit more about what's Prop 4, and this would be the Parks and Rec bond.
Right. Proposition 4 is Parks and Recreation Bond. This is really, a shining star on the ballot this year, because it brings a lot of matching dollars. All of the propositions have matching dollars in them this year. The difference with Prop 4 and Prop 5 is that they bring private matching dollars to the table. So the Parks Foundation, Anchorage Parks Foundation, has been raising funds and from the Rasmussen Foundation and other private donors towards improving our parklands. Further, it's informed by the communities. Again, the Parks Department did a survey of users this past fall, and the top priority that came out of that survey was, let's take care of the parks that we already have. Let's not go out buying new land and building new parks. Let's take care of what we already have. And that's how this bond is focused in terms of its projects.
Right. And what would be the impact to taxpayers should this bond pass? It's fairly modest. It's $1.8 million.
Right. So including operations and maintenance increments on an annual basis is 92 cents per 100,000. And that would be included in the $20.54 I talked about earlier.
So that $20.54 includes bonds three through eight.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, let's look at Prop 5, and that would be public facility capital improvements. And that is the one, I believe, that affects our libraries.
It does. And you know, technically, it should be called a libraries bond, but it's public libraries facilities is how I would refer to it. On the ballot, it's going to be called public facilities, Proposition 5. And it funds it would fund two projects. It would fund a renovation of the entrance to Lusac Library. If you've been to Lusac, you're very familiar with the outdoor stairway and the second level terrace. And sometimes open, sometimes closed, has had a lot of maintenance issues and some safety hazards, and really at this point has been, at this point is verging on structurally unsound. The terrace needs to be taken off. We have state dollars in hand from last legislative session to take that terrace off. And what the Office of Community Development looked at was, what should we do instead? Let's look at this as an opportunity. And so they have a design proposal to take off that second level terrace and make a first floor entrance with a circular drive. So you're taking away the safety hazard of the stairway, the terrace, as well as the drive through underneath.
Right. That's real fun staircase to climb up and down.
Well, you know, the interesting thing that really shed light on that issue for me it was to learn that entrance on the second floor and that terrace was designed to match up with a parking garage, which was never built and is not likely at this point ever to be built.
That is news to me. I never knew that after how many years in this city.
Yeah.
And how about Prop 6 while we are on the subject?
Proposition mm-hmm. 6 is our public safety and transportation bond. And so it funds two elements. The public safety portion is replacing cardiac monitors that are in the ambulances and fire engines. And it's replacing all the cardiac monitors in the city. And this is a vital life-saving piece of equipment at about $25,000 a piece. They have reached the end of their lifespan, and they need to be replaced.
Okay, and this, if approved, the Prop 6 would give the city permission to spend $1.3 million.
Correct. So $700,000 covers the cardiac monitors, and the other piece of that budget is $600,000 for public transportation. And that those dollars, we need to pass that bond in order to receive a generous matching fund from the Federal Transit Authority. So federal dollars on a 4-to-1 basis that go away, disappear if we don't pass this bond.
Okay, so you're getting more bang for your buck. Again, I'd like to remind our listeners to call 550-8433. 550-8433 if you are interested in the upcoming bond proposals on the city ballot, and you ought to be. Outside Anchorage, call 1-888-353-5752 or email us at communityforum@ksaa.org. And today my guests are Marge Larson from the city and Randy Virgin, also from the city, discussing some money matters facing Anchorage. And we are going to take a short break because this is KSKA's Pledge Drive Week. So let's take a break, and we will be back in less than a minute.
Hello, I'm Annie Feit, producer with the Alaska Public Radio Network. Public radio is a daily check-in on the workings of democracy. KSKA and APRN are components of an independent press and media. This week, KSKA is asking for your support by becoming a financial contributor to the programs you hear on KSKA. KSKA is public radio, one of the few media outlets locally owned and completely independent. Your membership is just one way you can exercise your citizen rights. An important part of KSKA and APRN's commitment to you is to report on our government. Len Anderson in Anchorage and Dave Donaldson in Juneau keep you informed of the issues that affect your life and your community. Keep KSKA going strong. Thank you for listening, and thank you for making KSKA your choice for news and information for 30 years.
Welcome back to Community Forum. I'm Ellen Lockyer. Today we're talking about city money matters. We have an election coming up in about a week, huh? Week from tomorrow. No, week
today.
From yesterday.
Oh, yesterday. Sorry.
What day is it?
Tuesday.
And we have our guests, Marge Larson and Randy Virgin from the city, and they're going to discuss some stimulus money, some extra money we're getting, and some bond proposals, and how it all fits together in this year's budget and maybe next year's budget. I did want to mention this just in, though. This flashed across my email about 11 this morning. The city of Anchorage gets a top rating from Standard & Poor's, and that means that Anchorage has its highest rating for short-term debt obligation. And the rating of an SP1 means Anchorage will pay favorable interest rates when it sells millions of dollars worth of tax anticipation notes. What are tax anticipation notes? Marge, you want to feel that one?
That's not my specialty area, but my understanding is that it ties into the bonds, the funding of the bond proposals.
Okay, so Anchorage is top rated. That's nice these days when you're hearing so much about everybody not being in the bottom rating of just about everything.
It is, and it is a really important piece because it means that we've maintained our top bond rating and we're very competitive, so our bonds will be appealing to investors. And I think that is really important news considering public perception on other investments that are available. And there have been other municipalities, boroughs, communities around the nation that have not been able to sell bonds, and that is simply not going to be the case for us. Because we're competitive and we have this high rating, our bonds will be appealing.
Right. And I think for the voters, I think that independent review gives us assurance that the city is not over-leveraged. You know, I mean, this bond package that you're going to be looking at next Tuesday, you know, it's pared down, it's the bare necessities, and we've clearly have city finances and sort of debt finances are well in order and should give voters a lot of confidence, I think.
Another good reason to live in Anchorage. Let's go to the phones. Sandy is holding on line 4. Hi, Sandy.
Hi.
Hi, thanks for calling. What's your question?
I was interested in a little bit more definitive description of what was meant by the heart monitors and if these are carried by the paramedics or just what do you mean when you speak of these heart monitors that are being funded by one of the bonds?
Well, they are a portable device, literally, and they are in all of the ambulances and then also on hand on the fire engines for use by the paramedics. So the answer is both. And they monitor a variety of different heart rhythms and also is the same piece of equipment used for defibrillation at the side of a victim or a patient. So they're carried from the ambulance to the side of the person and used both to monitor as well as to defibrillate.
Mm. Okay, so in essence, they show an EKG run out plus other functions.
Correct.
Okay, and do you know the number of them?
Yeah, I believe it's 26. Off the top of my head, 26 monitors.
And just one more question, and that is, how often are these rotated? I'm fairly certain that they wouldn't. 26 would be the total number, and they're all running out of time.
So they were all bought at the same time, correct? And they were bought. The current equipment was bought under a bond proposal, very much like the one that you're going to see on Prop 6 on Tuesday. They have a 7 to 10 year lifespan, those cardiac monitors, and they have reached the end of that lifespan. So they will have to be replaced. If this funding is not approved by the voters, then it will have to come out somewhere else in the fire department budget, which could have service effects.
Okay, that answers my question. Thank you.
Thanks for calling, Sandy. And once again, I'd like to remind our listeners, if you have a question for our guests, a question about some of the upcoming bond proposals or how the city's planning to spend some extra federal dollars it's getting, call 550-8433, 550-8433. Outside Anchorage, you can dial 1-888-353-5752. 1-888-353-5752, or email us at communityforum@kska.org. So we were talking a little bit about the city's bond rating, and it's excellent, apparently. And we have also got some unrelated money that's not in hand yet that's coming to the city through federal dollars, specifically the stimulus package. And Randy Virgin is here to talk a bit about that. Can you tell me, Randy, is there – we had talked a little earlier about how we could use the stimulus money to, you know, bolster up existing city plans for improvements here and there. Mm-hmm. Is there any specific new projects that have been determined for that money yet, or will there be public meetings on it? Will the city be asking for input, or how is that going to work?
Well, there are several answers to that question. You know, there are specific road projects that we expect to be funded. There are some efficiency projects that we're working through right now. I want to say generally, because the Act works in a very tight timeline, and a lot of these, you know, funding mechanisms are announced and the deadline is literally weeks away to get your plan together and submit it to the federal agency. And because you know, the mayor's been very clear that we're going to make sure we don't miss any opportunity to bring this funding to Anchorage. So there's not a whole lot of room for public process, unfortunately. And because of that, one of the things that we've decided is that we're going to be funding projects that are literally, you know, in the queue on a plan somewhere or just sort of obvious. For example, transit funding. The federal agency said you can spend this on buses and capital out there like you know, bus stops and improvements. You know, $6 million is coming to transit agency, and it's going to go for buses and bus stops. So it's sort of self-evident. There's not a whole lot of wiggle room. There is one project that has gone through a bit of a public process, and I know Marge can talk about that. It's the homelessness prevention project.
And those funds are coming to us through Housing and Urban Development, the HUD federal agency. We get a funding stream for homelessness prevention every year, and normally those funds go out through both Department of Health and Human Services at the city, as well as some nonprofit providers who work with homeless populations and potentially homeless populations to give direct assistance to families to keep them off the streets. What we're doing this year, because this is a significant one-time windfall, essentially, for these homelessness prevention dollars, is they have gone through the public process. They're continuing to go through the public process. But we've also encouraged the Anchorage Coalition on Homelessness to come together and to recommend a plan for the use of these funds specifically. And they have done that, and they've done a remarkable job at coming together. They made a proposal to the Housing and Neighborhood Development Commission last Friday that went over very favorably.
Mm-hmm. And so that would be federal.
Those would be federal money funds, and we're proposing to utilize them to make it easier for the public to access help to keep them from becoming homeless. So to keep them sort of out of the cycle of emergency, to give them the support that they need to really break the cycle of homelessness and maintain their independence. And so that will include mobile case management. It will include education on financial literacy and on how to be a good renter. And, of course, it will include some direct assistance as well, but we're really putting a lot into that coordination. And a single point of entry, which is not the case right now. So if a person is facing emergency eviction or already on the street and they call for help, they have to call each provider, each shelter, each public assistance source separately. And our intention is to make it so that they can make one call and get their assessment and the resources that they need.
Right. So you would be streamlining that process.
Yes.
I know it can be quite a maze for somebody who is needing assistance. I mean, it's been years since I had to go that route, but, you know, it's tough, and there's a lot of bureaucracy involved. Would this result in any additional jobs being created? Would you know?
Well, we're projecting 4 or 5 jobs out of that, and that's a total of a $750,000 pot. But the difference between the homelessness prevention dollars and other stimulus funds is beyond job creation. They're also intended to help residents and support them in maintaining their own financial independence. And so you can't look at it necessarily as only a job creation bill, but although we certainly are a job creation funding source, but we certainly brought that into the picture.
Okay. And Randy, again, you have that inquisitive look on your face, just dying to say something. How about you? What at your end do you have any? You mentioned energy efficiency as one of the priorities for some of this stimulus money. Can you outline a few of the...
I can. The city is actually slated to receive $2.7 million in formula funding from the Department of Energy, and it's specifically for projects that enhance efficiency in the community or bring renewable energy to bear to bring down the cost of operations for the long term. And the nice thing about the energy efficiency money is that it's both job creating and economic, you know, it creates economic stimulus by spending that money in the community, but it also has a long-term benefit. It's making an investment in our viability as a community. For example, you know, this money is going to go into lighting retrofits to have more efficient lighting in the community, building retrofits to make our major public facilities more efficient. You know, activities like that, that for every dollar in stimulus money that we spend, we're going to have, you know, a multi-year, you know, multiple dollars in benefit to the community. For example, if we, you know, change out, you know, all the lighting in some major public facilities, we're going to bring down the operational cost of those facilities and use less energy in the community. And that, I think, makes us leaner and meaner as a community and makes sort of the operational costs of those facilities can stay flat. And we all know that things cost more every year. But if we can bring our energy costs down, we can sort of keep a lid on, you know, on that inflation for the taxpayer. So that's a way that stimulus dollars can have an immediate effect and a long-term effect.
And these would be dollars that are not subject to approval by Juneau?
That's correct. Mm-hmm. The 2.7 is a direct formula from the Department of Energy. Mm-hmm. There is also a pretty big chunk of energy money that can flow to the state if the legislature and the governor choose to accept it. And that money would go to state energy agencies, and they've indicated that they would spend it on a mix of renewable energy projects around the state and similar efficiency investments.
Mm-hmm. So it looks like for all of the doom and gloom out there regarding the economy, Anchorage is not doing too badly. Would you want to say something more? Go ahead.
I was going to say I think that's definitely true, and that's a message that Acting Mayor Clayman has given, delivered over and over again, I think, is that really we are ahead of the curve in terms of local economic stability, and it really looks at in the short term like we're going to stay that way. But the Anchorage Economic Development Corporation did their economic forecast earlier this year, and their projection for job growth is essentially zero, essentially flat, and that's remarkable given tens of thousands of positions that are getting, hundreds of thousands of positions that are getting cut around the country. And so there may be some change in what sectors gain positions or lose positions. But overall, the Anchorage economy is going to maintain its current level for jobs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's a hopeful little glimmer of hope there. So I wanted to get at how these bonds, should they pass, and there's, not counting the school bonds or Prop 9, there's six of them.
Yes.
And let's reiterate how much, all told, these bonds will cost the taxpayers.
So Propositions 3 through 8 are the city bond proposals, and they are a total package of $44 million. They would have an impact of $20.54 per 100,000 per year. And so what that translates to, if you own a quote average home in Anchorage of a $350,000, let's say, then you're talking about having an increased tax bill of $63 a year if we pass all of those propositions 3 through 8.
Okay, and how about Propositions 7 and 8? We didn't really mention those. I would say Prop 7 would be improvements to our fire service areas in Anchorage, and Prop 8 is also improvements to public safety facilities and police protection.
Correct.
Would these be extra above the $60?
No.
Okay.
No, those are city bond proposals, so they're included in that $20.54 per 100,000 assessed value. And, I think that's really important for people to realize that it's, a very modest impact on the taxpayer. If you look at it in comparison to past years, for instance, the entire package is smaller, and the impact on taxpayers is smaller in this given year. And that was intentionally done by the administration and the assembly in light of the economy.
Mm-hmm.
Muni.org is the city's website, and you can find out all the details you ever wanted to know and more about the bond proposals by clicking 2009 Bonds on the Ballot off the Muni homepage, Muni.org.
I've clicked that many a time this last couple of weeks. Now, I just wanted to get at, before we go to a break, the impact, say, for instance, if the bonds do pass, all of them or some of them, and we have some extra money coming in, but now we'll be spending some extra money. How's this all going to work out for maybe next year's budget, the 2010 budget? Well, what is the likely fallout for that?
When a bond passes, what it does is give the city authority to tax up to that additional level. So again, it gives the city authority to tax up to the additional $63 per average home a year. And it doesn't hit you all at once. It certainly doesn't hit you in 2009 all in one big impact. You're only assessed each piece of it as the bonds are sold, and the city sells the bonds when they need the cash to actually implement the projects.
Mm-hmm. And Randy, how about you? Now this these extra federal dollars that are coming in now, when is the city likely to receive this money, and how would it be used to revise the 2009 budget, or can some of it be held over to the 2010 budget? Mm-hmm. How does that work?
Well, when the money hits is a burning question for all of us. To be fair, we haven't seen a stimulus dollar, literally actually get spent in Anchorage. We know, levels have been announced, programs have been announced. They're on their way. A lot of it's pending legislative action that's going to happen in the next couple of weeks. But we are keeping an eye on, when is that first stimulus, piece going to happen in Anchorage? And it's I think, right around the corner. I mean, we're going to see road projects this summer as a result of the stimulus bill. We're going to see activity, literally this summer and on through 2009 and through 2010. I think it's going to take 18 to 24 months to, spend through the stimulus funding. Mm-hmm. But we're going to start seeing that impact this summer. To answer your second question, this is not discretionary funding. Congress has been very prescriptive. Here's some money for roads, here's some money for transit, here's some money for education, and it's got to be new spending. So this is not money that the city can do what we please with. There's not really an option to plug, an existing revenue shortfall in the city budget. So the stimulus bill is really independent of the city's annual budget.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a real important point because this is a well-aligned discussion to have these two topics on one show because in the public's mind those pieces do come together. But it's important to understand the whole picture and that the stimulus funds don't replace local funds and they're specifically intended to add, not to replace.
Okay. Well, now I was just going to mention that if the stimulus money does translate into more jobs, mm-hmm. plus the road bond, should it pass, would translate into more jobs. That would give the lie to the flat job growth prediction, or would you say
I
yes
think
or no?
The report that the Anchorage Economic Development Corporation put out again showed projected flat overall, and I think certainly we'd be like, that'd be great if we beat that, but I think it's premature for us to say that we're definitely going to increase in jobs because obviously there's going to be an increase in construction jobs. There's going to be if Prop 3 passes and we get the state match, there's 650 jobs just out of that funding piece. But there may be jobs elsewhere in our economy that are falling off, such as retail or tourism.
Right. Well, I'd like to pause at this moment and remind our listeners, if you have a question for or a comment on the props 3 through 8, give us a call here at KSKA at 550-8433, or outside Anchorage, 1-888-353-5752, or you can email us at communityforum@ksKA.org. And I'd like to also remind our listeners that it is Pledge Week here at KSKA. So we're going to take a short break and hear from some of KSKA's supporters.
My name is Keith Novosny. I started listening to public radio when I was in my car driving to work, and I kind of came across it by accident, I think, probably listening to All Things Considered in the afternoon. I was just captivated by it. The thing that captivated me or hooked me into it was the completeness of the information, the completeness of the reporting and the stories, that it wasn't just like a little sound bite or a snippet. They really developed the story and told you more about what was going on. It's a great vehicle for information when I'm in my car. I think that it's really important for people to support public radio if you appreciate objective news reporting and information, whether it's at a national level or a local level. You get better content, more complete stories and information from NPR than anything else I hear on the radio.
My name is Christopher Steem, and I'm a longtime listener, member, volunteer, and supporter of KSKA. KSKA, to me, really an important part of my everyday life. I listen to it when I wake up in the morning. I listen to it while I'm driving to work. I listen to it while I'm driving home. It's really a part of who I am. I think the station does a great job of providing a diverse collection of insights on what's going on in our community and around the world. I just couldn't imagine it not being here. I discovered that when you make a donation to KSKA, it goes from being the public radio station to becoming your public radio station. My name is Christopher Steem, and I support KSKA.
Add your voice to those who support KSKA. Call 550-8484 or join online at kska.org/support. In Anchorage, call 550-8484. Outside Anchorage, it's toll-free, 1-800-478-5256, or go online at kska.org/support. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting FM 91.1.
Welcome back to Community Forum. I'm Ellen Lockyer. Today my guests are Randy Virgin and Marge Larson, and they both work for the city. And Marge is a special assistant to the mayor. Randy works on sustainability projects. We have had a fellow call holding on line one. David, we'd like to go to the phones and get his question. David, are you there?
Yes.
Thanks for being patient. What's your question?
This question may have been answered already. I tuned in a little late, but I was just curious if you've discussed any retiring bond packages that would relieve the taxpayer before we vote in another $63 a month to our taxes based on the average house value.
Marjorie, would you like to tell him about that?
Sure. In this past year, so in 2008, the city paid off over $70 million in principal on their debt. I'm looking for my cheat sheet here. Is projecting to pay down $27 million in 2009 here. And the reason that is not quite as high as last year's is that interest rates aren't as favorable.
And how does that relate to taxes?
Well, these are 20-year bonds. Normally, bonds are sold or financed on a 30-year time period, and Anchorage does theirs on a 20-year time period. That feeds into our high bond rating, but that is like having a 20-year mortgage. So despite how much principal you've paid down in a given year, your payment remains the same. So you're not going to see a reduction until an entire bond is paid off. And frankly, we haven't experienced that yet because we haven't been bonding in Anchorage for 20 years yet.
And I do want to point out the $63 on an average household is per year, not per month. So it's really a couple cups of coffee a month is what this is going to add.
Thank you for your time.
Okay, David, thank you for calling. Yeah, and I think a lot of people, and I'm one of them, you know, you open your bill for taxes and you go, you know, you have to think. I mean, these are the services that we all depend on every day.
Right.
I just want to
make a correction. I misspoke on the 2009 principal. It is over $75 million there also. I was looking on what we've paid down thus far in 2009, but the total we pay in principal every year on our total debt is over $70 million, $73 million in 2008, $76 in 2009.
So when can we retire this year's slate of bonds, and should they pass? Is that
on average, 20 years from now. So it depends on the project. For instance, we talked about those heart rate monitors and cardiac monitors and defibrillators, and they have a 5 to 7 year lifespan. So those are only getting financed for 5 years, or a fire truck, for instance, would only be financed for 10 years, whereas the larger projects like the road bonds are going to be financed for 20 years.
Mm-hmm. And so our voters, our city voters, will go to the polls on April 7th and have quite a few decisions to make. Most of these bonds are all, comprehensive for everybody in Anchorage, right? There's no...
Very good question, Alan.
Yeah.
Actually, they are almost all service area specific, and
right.
You can find that information out on the muni.org website also, and look and see what service areas you're in. Unfortunately, it's not an easy answer because Anchorage Park service area is different from Anchorage Road service area is different from Anchorage Fire service area, et cetera. You know, most of those you can look at and say Anchorage proper, but you can look on the specific maps on the website to see which pieces would affect you. And you, although they have to pass, the propositions have to pass with all the voters from Eagle River Chugiak down to Girdwood, they would only apply on the tax bill for those who live in that service area.
Okay, so let's look back at Prop 3, and this is the $34 million road bond. And this would be for the entire Anchorage area. Are there any? It says it covers 24 different projects. Does anyone have at their fingertips exactly what some of those projects might be?
Oh.
Major traffic arteries or just neighborhood side
Mostly
streets?
Neighborhood projects.
Okay.
One of the notable projects that came up in the public process is Spinard Road and correcting the roadway and the walkway to make it a safer place for pedestrians and vehicles from Hillcrest down to the Creekside Valley there. And that's one of our bigger projects.
Hillcrest, yeah. I fell in a big hole there once. But that's a state road, isn't it? They're part of that. It's a state road.
Spinard? No, Spinard is a city road, but that makes a good point also that not all the roads in Anchorage are owned by the city or are city roads, and that's something we confront when we talk about snow removal or snow plowing as well as road construction and road closures.
Seems to me that part that goes down the hill and crosses over Chester Creek by the lagoon there was owned by the state. This was many changes. This was years ago. I won't sidetrack you. So how about now some of the stimulus money that we are certain to get, we'll get some of it. Now, Randy, you were mentioning that some of it is going to be maybe turned down by the state government. Can you go over what we might be losing?
Sure. Well, there's a chunk of the stimulus money that's dependent on positive state action, and we're not sure how that's going to pan out yet. A couple week or so ago, I think the governor caught everyone's attention when she suggested that we should reconsider basically $288 million in federal stimulus funding. She's made it clear that she does want to accept this money for transportation, infrastructure, and Medicaid. But there's a long list of, literally almost $300 million that is now sort of officially in the up for discussion category. And just for the record, I want to make it clear, Acting Mayor Klayman has been very clear that he's urged the governor and the legislature to accept, every dollar available to the state. We're very happy that Anchorage is doing a lot better than the rest of the country. And frankly, we don't want to experience what the rest of the country is going through right now. We want to make sure that this economy keeps chugging along and keeps being the exception to the rule. And one of the best ways we can do that is to take advantage of this opportunity. Love it or hate it, the stimulus bill is law and these dollars are on the table and we don't want to leave them sitting there. So it's a long list. There's $74 million for schools around the state on that list. $26 million of that would go directly to this Anchorage School District. So if it's something that you feel strongly about, you want to be sure to communicate with your state leaders. There's $93 million for fiscal stabilization. So that's money to the state just to help literally pay the bills. It's really very little strings attached there. There's $28 million in state energy programs on the table right now, and that's the money I referenced earlier. The city is going to, take really good advantage of those dollars. The state could do the same thing, do efficiency projects in their buildings and facilities, and also to do renewable energy projects around the state to bring down the cost of energy for our communities. I can go on and on. This list is about a page long, and it's almost $300 million in total.
So what jumps out at you is maybe some of the higher profile ones that you would like to see accepted rather than rejected by Juno.
Which ones jump out at me? Mm-hmm. Certainly education, the investments in energy efficiency, because those are investments in our long-term well-being. It's a short-term dollar, but it's the positive benefits going to be there for a long time. And that's the best kind of stimulus spending. It gets things moving now, but it also is making an investment in our long-term competitiveness. So those kind of funding mechanisms just seem to make a lot of sense to me.
And would these dollars generate more dollars? Obviously, there's a hope that they will generate jobs. But, in the long run, that tends to revolve and snowball. I mean, dollars create more dollars.
Absolutely. And especially if we're talking about, investing in education, we all know that that's going to have a long-term impact on the well-being of our state and society. Or, again, weatherization and energy efficiency. It's bringing down the cost of living here in the state and making us, literally leaner and meaner and more competitive going into the future. That's that kind of stuff, I think, just makes a lot of sense.
And I'd like to throw this out. How can your average Anchorage resident get involved in ideas, putting out ideas for the use of this money or getting in touch with your legislators in Juneau about this money?
Well, I think the $300 we're talking about now that's on the table, I definitely encourage people, if they have an opinion about that, to communicate with the governor's office and with their state legislators, because that discussion is going on, this week and next. They have literally till April 3rd to take final action. So you want to do that right away. And then in terms of interacting with the city, I want to plug our website as well. The city's homepage is muni.org. Mm-hmm. And on the front page under the, right in the middle of the page is a, what's new listing of about four or five topics. And the Recovery Act is one of those top links on the front page. And there we've built a site where we've got a list of resources for people. You can get directly to the Recovery Act itself. You can get to state resources. You can get to agency links. And then we've posted, just as we get new information, we post it in an update format. So every time we learn about a new funding mechanism or a new program, that's going on the website immediately. So you can learn, you know, everything there is, everything that we know about this bill, you can find on that website.
Right. Once again, muni.org is the city's website, and there's the information on all the bond propositions, the upcoming election, the stimulus money, and you can also go to kska.org to find links on this subject. And I would like to remind our listeners that this is a call-in program. So if you have a question or a comment for our guests, please call 550-8433, 550-8433, or outside Anchorage, 1-888-353-5752. And another reminder, this program is recorded during the afternoon. We're live now, but we won't be this evening. So if you're listening to the rebroadcast this evening, don't call, because you won't have anyone answering the phone. Well, I have really thoroughly enjoyed this conversation, and I want to remind our listeners that there is an election coming up in less than a week. Please inform yourself of what is going to be on that election, that ballot, and please get out there and vote. And Marge Larson, Randy Virgin, I would like to ask both of you if you have some wrap-up comments you would like to make regarding the city bond proposals or the new money, as we're calling it, coming from the stimulus bill.
Sure. The city's bond package is propositions 3 through 8, and those bonds represent priorities set in the capital improvement plan by the community and have been approved not only by the mayor but by the assembly to go on the ballot. If all of those propositions pass, they will fund road safety and road improvement, fire protection, police protection, public safety, transit, libraries, and parks. And they would have a maximum impact if you live in all of those service areas and they all pass. They would have a maximum impact of $20.54 per $100,000 in property value, or about $62 for an average home in Anchorage per year. And those projects are not do not overlap the economic stimulus package, so they are local priorities, and the only way that they're going to happen is if these propositions pass.
Okay, thanks, Marge. Randy?
Well, thank you. I guess I just want to reiterate what Marge is saying. I think these bonds are additive, and I think they're, to me, part of that bigger package of keeping the community moving and making sure that we're making investments and putting jobs out on the street. For the stimulus bill, I just want to reiterate that we, you know, the mayor, acting mayor Klayman, has made it clear that we're going to maximize recovery impact dollars to Anchorage. We want to share information with everybody as soon as we get it, and we want to make sure that the act is applied as intended. We're going to maximize job creation, and we're going to do it in full compliance with full transparency. So we're looking at hundreds of millions of dollars to Anchorage as a result of that bill, and it's going to be about jobs. It's going to be about projects that have community support. You know, we're not going to do new controversial projects, and it's going to be about projects that make an investment in the long-term viability of the community.
Mm-hmm. And think green.
And muni.org.
And think muni.org or kska.org. You'll get links to muni.org if you go there. And once again, I would like to thank you for listening to Community Forum. Our woman behind the controls is Kristen Spack. She's our technician today. And our vice president of media content, I believe, is Pat Yak. I don't know his exact title. But I'm Ellen Lockyer.
Community Forum is a production of KSKA's News and Public Affairs Department. Opinions expressed are those of the guest, host, and callers, and do not represent the views of KSKA, the licensee, or the underwriters. You can subscribe to free podcasts of Community Forum on our website at kska.org, where you can also find links to additional information on today's topic, including all the websites mentioned on today's show. If you have questions or comments concerning this program, write to us at 3877 University University Drive, Anchorage, Alaska, 99508, or email communityforum@ksaa.org. CD copies can be purchased by calling 550-8400 during regular business hours. This is KSKA, Anchorage.